Hello and welcome to the Pearl and Prodigal podcast. This is episode 13 for October 21st, 2023. I feel like sometimes I may talk about the same things over and over, or the themes come up over and over, and I hope that I haven't spent too much time on this already, but I wanted to talk about something that I've been dealing with for a little while. I guess over the past year I've felt this more or realized it more, what I want to talk about is a sense of loss and the pains that the passing of time brings as far as our life in Christ. I want to talk about why we shouldn't give up, or I guess I want to encourage anyone listening to not give up, to keep going. You know, I think about, and the reason I'm bringing this up is perhaps you do too, but I think about so many people each week that I would suppose most of them probably wouldn't think that they would ever cross my mind, but I think about people from my young past, from when I was still at home, growing in school, from my college days, from our early marriage, from our time when our children were younger, to the time that they were teenagers, and all the people that have been part of that experience, especially and almost exclusively, I'm talking about people that have been Christians that have striven along with us or encouraged us along the way. You know, many of them probably didn't realize just their presence as a part of the body of Christ was an encouragement. And because of that, I still remember them. And the people that have been a part of our life in the most recent last few years, we think about them often. And but there's a flip side of that. This came up Thursday night in a conversation that someone had said a name that was similar to the last name of a person that we had known in the past, of a couple. And the thing that came to mind after that is, oh, that couple that they've since divorced in the time that we had known them, in another time of life that would have been unthinkable. And that is a story that I could tell you over and over and over again, 100 times over. In fact, I would say of the people that were going along beside us in 20 years ago, of the group that we stood beside, that we sought to encourage one another in our Christian walks, sought to encourage one another in building our families and being what we're supposed to be in our families, that the majority, I can almost 100% say the majority of those relationships are broken relationships that have ended in divorce, that have had all sorts of calamities, that have been self-driven calamities in one way or another, And unfortunately, you know, many of those have been associated with calamities of faith as well, in that their faith has been shipwrecked. And those things, that's the pain of our walk in Christ that I'm thinking of as I go through this weekend. And something that's come up over and again, I have a rotating electronic digital photo frame on my desk right now, and actually as I'm recording this, a photo came up from probably closer to 30 years ago than to 20, and almost every person in that photograph where we were there gathered as a Christian group, every person almost without exception has wandered from the faith. But I still hope the best for them. And it's a painful burden, I think, that almost everybody bears. And I guess that the reason I wanted to talk about it was to let you know, number one, that if you're a person who's trying to strive in Christ and to serve His body as we're called to serve, to encourage one another, that if you're conscientious about that, then you probably have some sense of what I'm talking about, no matter where you are in your life. Certainly, if you're older, you've accumulated more of these sorts of wounds in your life. But also, if you're a person who maybe is struggling in your own life, that you need to realize that that people in the body of Christ care for you, and that you're important, whether you think you are or not. And if you are a person who might say, "I'm unimportant," then I would say that you don't have the right to say that, because your brothers and your sisters have a different feeling on that, number one. And number two, your life is not your own. You've been bought by Christ, purchased with His blood at great cost, and He says that's the value you have. And to say otherwise is to diminish the sacrifice that He's made to instill you with a worthiness that you could have never had on your own, but which He intends for you to use for His glory. And so we have to get over ourselves sometimes and push on and to do the thing that we know that we need to do. Which is possibly the hardest thing that we have to do, is to forget about ourselves, to forget our own life, and to live our life for others, for the glory of Christ. So my encouragement this week is to strive, and that's a recurring theme, of course, in the New Testament. And there's just a couple of verses I wanted to read on this. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 10 says, "On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So in striving, in disciplining ourselves in through the word that has been delivered to us and preserved down to our time, that word will, when put into action in our life, we will reap benefits not only in this present life, but most especially in the life to come. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. And of course, the Lord never made any indication that we would have a rose-colored life here without difficulties. In fact, he made it clear that we would have difficulties. In Luke 13:24, he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter. It will not be able." And that's the thing that I worry about so much in lives that I've known, Christians that I've known, that, you know, you when you're striving together, you are dependent on them, as because you know in your own personal you know in your own skin, from your own personal living of the Christian life, the difficulties that you face in yourself, and so you are dependent on those around you. You're expectant to be able to look to them as people who give you an encouragement just because they are continuing on themselves. And so that's something that we've got to do. We're doing this not just for ourselves. We're doing this for those around us. And so we've got to press on. This, most of the examples that I've got in my own head are not examples of a sudden crisis in which all was lost, but it may have peaked in a crisis moment, but was precipitated through a period of drifting, of not paying attention, of compromising, of giving up, giving in, and letting go of the things that they should have been holding on to. And we ourselves have to look out for that in ourselves, in our own lives. And so that's why I'm reminding you today, you're important. Don't give up and keep pressing on. Even in the difficult times and in the depressing times and the times when you feel little, when you unimportant, when you don't feel like you're making any traction in your life, there are periods in all people's life where we experience those feelings, where we feel maybe rudderless or drifting, pointless in we're trying to do, but we can't see the traction or the distance that we're traveling. But pressing through those times, without exception, I would say you will be able to look back and to see good that has come from that, things that have been happening that were part of a bigger and more complex picture that you wouldn't have been able to see at the time because you're in the midst of it. So keep going. And if you feel this sense of loss in broken relationship, Christian relationships that aren't there anymore, that you can't help but miss, that you can't help but worry about, think about them and wish that somehow things could be different, know and remember and recall that our own Lord has experienced this in very acute ways, not just simply the loss of a relationship, but specifically in personal betrayal. Peter, on the night he's betrayed, on the night Christ was crucified, he's betrayed by Peter. We have that picture in Luke 22 and 61, a very personal picture of the relationship between the two, in which the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and it says Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly, and he uh, he deeply feels the personal betrayal that he has committed against his Lord, but also his friend, his companion, the person he's been learning from and serving with for 3 years. And of course, Judas is the ultimate symbol of betrayal. How Judas got there, I wish we could know. I wish we could know more of the story. Certainly, Judas is experiencing what these other what the other 11 are experiencing. He's being sent out. You wonder who is it that Judas is sent out with when Christ sends them out in pairs, and who was it that Judas got to heal? Maybe Judas raised someone from the dead. Christ gave them all of these powers to go out and to do as they're preaching the gospel, as signs that what they're delivering is from God. And these are exceptional signs that he gives them the power to do, the authority to do in his name. And they go out and they do this. And the thing that they're bringing is the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come in the form of the Son of God, and he is about to perform all those things that God has promised in the past that he would do, that God is going to fulfill his promises in regards to those things, which ultimately result in salvation for all who would come to him. But Judas is one of those who's taking those things. Jesus entrusted Judas with the important job of keeping the treasury of the work as they go out among the people. So he's not some outsider. He is very much an insider, even among the larger disciple group. He is, called to be one of the 12, especially chosen by the Lord to be his apostles. And yet he, in Matthew 26, 47 through 50 is one of the tellings of the night that he betrayed Jesus, and he comes to him and he kisses him, and that is the ultimate betrayal, of course. So our Lord knows what it means to feel that sense of loss. And of course, Jesus being the Son of God, he's come to save the entire world. He's given his all. He's given the offer of a free gift to what he has to have the redemption, to have that reconciliation between God and man. He's formed that bridge. He's done the work. He's made that possible. And yet he continues to suffer the innumerable losses of those who refuse to come to him. Paul also, experienced this in his own life, and I think often of Demas as one of the saddest examples of people in the age of the early Christian church. In Colossians 4:14, it says, "Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas." And Demas is a companion, a close companion of Paul, close enough here that he's requesting Paul to send his greetings to the church in Colossae that he's writing to here. But by the time we get to 2 Timothy, the last letter Paul writes, he says in 2 Timothy 4:9-10, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." And that is, that verse 10 about Demas is for me personally one of the saddest verses in Scripture. And I hope that that Demas had a change of heart and a restoration somewhere down the road. I hope that that we get to see him as one of the elect, one of the saved on the judgment day. But that's what we're left with as far as the story of Demas. And I think that it stands as a testimony, one that we will suffer loss as Christians. But to encourage us to stand firm and to keep striving and to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to become another Demas. I encourage you this week to keep striving. And if you're having a week where it's difficult to pray, to do the things, to encourage one another, keep going. Your life isn't yours. If you're a Christian, that's just the facts. And I hope I can tell you that without upsetting you. But you belong to Jesus. And because you belong to Jesus, you know, the Bible doesn't know of any unchurched Christians. And by unchurched, I mean Christians who are out by themselves, who are not a part of a body and trying to be the serve the function of the body in which they're set to serve by the Lord. I pray that you will, even if your function is just to be present, I promise you that is an important function that you cannot yourself judge the value of. That's for those around you to experience, and their judgment, I promise you, is a much higher valuation than you would expect or understand. I pray that you have a good week. I love you. Keep pressing forward, and may God bless you. Tomorrow on our first day of a new week and the week to follow.